Huh? Okay. Sefer Yonah is one of the Treasar guys. Let's just have a little bit of a background as to who Yonah is, when the Sefer was written, by who it was written. So we're talking about the Tkufa of the Malachim, right? Right after Eliyahu and Elisha. Chazal actually point out that Yonah ben Amittai might actually be the son of Eliyahu or Elisha. Remember the story where they revive the boy that was that died? So it could be, says in Chazal, and it could be that Yonah ben Amittai was actually this boy. What the significance of that is, we're not going to speak about today, but it does have significance. Sefer is different than other Sifrei Tanakh in a lot of different ways. One, that the language is much more familiar with the language that we find the Tkufa of Bayesheni. Not a lot of that is going to mean anything to you, but for example, the word Onia, right? What's the word Onia? A boat. So that Lashon of a boat we don't find really throughout the Tanakh. And that's why a lot of Chokrim and different academics believe that Sefer Yonah was written way after Tkufa Bayit Sheni, written much later. Anyways, for us, Chazal...
Is that completely like...
It's not so mufrach to say that, but that's for our biblical criticism class. Chazal say that all of Treasar was put together, maybe not all written by, but put together by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So it's not that crazy to say, because Anshei Knesset HaGdolah is at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, leading into Bayis Sheni, so it's not that odd to say that it was written around that time. Everyone following me so far? Okay. We good? All right. So Anshei Knesset HaGdolah writes Treasar. Treasar really is a bunch of like random svarim. Right, the Gemara tells us that the reason why Treasar was put together was in order so that the Sfarim would not be forgotten. Because if they were just scattered prakim out throughout Tanakh, it would have been forgotten, and therefore we put these Sfarim together, call it Treasar. But they are very different in their content, and we are going to see our first one, Sefer Yonah. Sefer Yonah, Yonah ben Amittai, like we said, the historical context is that he's living in Malchus Yisrael, not Malchus Yehudah. He's living in the north, which is rampaged with Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichos Damim, right? We're living in the time right before the Gullus of the Ten Shvatim. That is what the context is, okay? We find Yonah ben Amittai's name only in one other place in Tanakh, in context of Sefer Malachim by Yeravam, says that Yonah was part of returning the borders of Israel, so he had some sort of influence there with the king. That is the background, that's the general background that we need to know. Okay, so we're going to ask a few very, very important questions. Then we're going to ask a few small questions throughout the Sefer. And then hopefully we'll try to answer the big questions by answering the small questions. Okay, the first big question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is the significance of Sefer Yonah in the context of Yom Kippur? Why are we reading Sefer Yonah on Yom Kippur? Okay. We're going to try to answer that question. I'm just going to play devil's advocate for a second. We're going to see that Yonah actually doesn't do tshuva at the end of the day. So Rabbi David Foreman, I was listening to this the other day, Rabbi David Foreman actually points out that in theory, Sefer Yonah is like the worst book to read on Yom Kippur. Because if like we're trying to show like what it is to look, what good tshuva looks like, Sefer Yonah is like not the place to look, which is interesting. That is going to be our over-gauging sort of large questions which we're going to have to answer. We're going to ask a few more large questions. And so let's just get started. Hopefully we'll be done in 45 minutes. I just wanted to give us some leeway. Sefer Yonah is not so big. And it's nice, you know, we read on Yom Kippur. We should be kind of aware beyond our elementary understanding of what Sefer Yonah is, the big fish, and so on and so forth. So hopefully we'll try to do that today. Okay. Vayhi dvar Adonai el Yonah ben Amittai lemor. Okay, so Hashem comes and speaks to Yonah. Once again, it's clear that the Tanakh is not telling us who Yonah is. But Tanakh understands that we know who Yonah is. Kum lech el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gdola ukra leha ki alsara asam lefanai. So go to Nineveh. Where's Nineveh, guys? Nineveh is the capital city of Babylonia. So where's Babylonia? Iraq, Iran, that area, Okay, go to this area, go to Nineveh. Ukra la ki altara atam lefanai. Call out to them because their evil has come in front of me. Okay. Vayakam Yonah livroach Tarshisha. But Yonah has a different idea. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh, so he goes to Tarshish. Does anyone know where Tarshish is? Right, so if we're looking at if Babel is here and Eretz Yisrael is here, Tarshish is over here. Okay, many of the academics believe that Tarshish is around the area of the islands off Greece, a lot of Greek islands. So that way, Yonah is obviously going in the direct exact option, exact, you know, in the opposite direction of where Hashem wants him to go. Okay, so now one of the big questions that we're going to ask. Our first question is, what is the significance of Sefer Yonah? Second big question that we're going to have to ask is, first of all,
why did he go the opposite way?
Why doesn't Yonah want to go to Nineveh? What does God want from Yonah in Nineveh? Why does he care if these people do tshuva? Right? Can Yonah really escape from God? Isn't he a Navi? Is he an idiot? Right? Pretty good questions, no? Right, in our elementary sort of like, oh, he's running away and then he gets a fish and then, right, a lot of this book doesn't make much sense, and it's not so clear, at least over here, at least in the first parak, as to what the answers to those questions are. We are going to suggest two or three different possibilities, and these two or three possibilities are going to, I want all of you guys to pay attention to these two or three possibilities as to what that is going to affect the way that we understand the entire Sefer. Okay? So the two or three possibilities, we're going to go with three, and we're going to mainly speak about the third one. The first possibility, points out the Mefarshim, is that why was this book written Bechlal? This book was written Bechlal to show Am Yisrael that even these evil non-Jewish people can do tshuva. Right? They're non-Jewish people. They're people living in Nineveh. Even these Jews, and it's supposed to be a lesson to the Jewish people. Look and learn the lesson. So why wouldn't Yonah want to go there? If that's the lesson, he doesn't want to teach it. Why wouldn't he want to teach it?
Maybe he doesn't want to do
tshuva himself. What about, let's think about if you're representing Am Yisrael. It doesn't look good, right? It doesn't look good. Imagine you are representing Am Yisrael. You're their lawyer. And the judge says, go to Nineveh, make that defender do tshuva. That's not going to make my client look very good if he's not doing tshuva. So the first approach why Yonah is running away is because he understands that it's not going to look good for the Jewish people. And he is the representer of Am Yisrael. He doesn't want to make the Jews look not good. Okay?
But if Hashem tells you to do something, it doesn't matter what you think.
Right. Beautiful. Okay. We have to answer that question also. Second approach. First approach is clear. Second approach is similar to the first approach. However, we have to understand the historical context. Who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? The Bavlim, right? The people from Nineveh, right? So Yonah has some sort of foresight because he's a Navi, and he realizes that the reason that God is sending me to Nineveh is why? To have them do tshuva. Why does Hashem want them to do tshuva? So that they will be the people who will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Because the people who are going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash are going to have to be roi, they're going to have to be worthy of being the stick of God, being the wrath of God. So therefore, Yonah is sent to Nineveh to help the people in Bavel to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why would Yonah not want to be involved in that? He doesn't want the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Okay? So far, two approaches. Right? The first two are pretty similar. He's not interested in going to Nineveh because he doesn't want to be involved in it. He doesn't want the Busha, and he doesn't want the Chorban. So why would he be involved in that? Okay. Third approach, which we are going to try to speak about and elaborate about today, is this concept of Yonah not believing in the concept of tshuva in the same definition that we see it. It's possible that Yonah doesn't believe bichlal in the concept of tshuva. Why would a person not believe bichlal in the concept of tshuva? Well, he's a Navi.
He doesn't believe it will get him anywhere.
It doesn't believe... Okay, what else? If you're like a din person, right? You come, smack me in the face. Why should I forgive you? You did something wrong. Din, right? Yonah says, I shouldn't go to Nineveh. They're terrible people. I shouldn't go to the Jews either. They're terrible people. We found this by other Nevi'im also. Eliyahu HaNavi runs away from... Why? Because they're into din. That's the third approach. So far, three approaches we saw. And we're going to see that each one of these approaches, we could plug them into different parts of the Sefer, and we're going to see which one speaks to us the most. Okay? So let's take a look. Kum lechel Nineveh ha'ir agdola ukra leha ki al saras am lefanai. Go to Nineveh, the large city, and call out to it because the evil is in front of it. In front of me. Vayakam Yonah livrach Tarshisha milifnei Adonai. And Yonah goes to Tarshish to get away from Hashem. Vayered Yafo vayimtza oniyah ba Tarshish. He goes to the Jaffa port and sees a boat. So we see this concept milifnei Adonai twice. Yonah is trying to run away from God. In other words, Yonah is trying to run away from Nevuah. Why would it be a smart idea? Or we asked this question in the beginning. How can you run away from God? Doesn't he know that you can't run away from God? God is everywhere. So what is Yonah trying to do? Bothering him. Yeah. Anyone else? Why? Oh! So Chazal tell us that a person only gets Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Now, there's obviously proofs throughout Tanakh, many of people getting most of their Nevuah actually outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yechezkel, Yonah, we're going to see, clearly gets Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Could be that it's because that he started his Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, so he can continue it later. Could be that Nevuah, huh?
Moshe
gets Nevuah in.
Only outside of Israel.
Right, outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? So we're going to see that it could be, right? So the answer to our question is, why does Yonah think he could run away from God? He's not running away from God, he's running away from Nevuah. Right, others, Yirmiyahu and other prophets also. Yirmiyahu says very, very harsh things about his nevuah. Yirmiyahu came and spoke about the Churban a lot, and he had a very hard life. He didn't have children. He didn't have family. And he says, I despise the day that I was born because of this nevuah. I don't want it, but it's just coming out of me. So it's clear that Yonah has some sort of trying to run away from the Nevuah. He's not trying to run away from God. He figures that if he runs away, God will leave him alone, pick someone else. I don't want to be involved in it. Either because of Am Yisrael or because my personal opinion about Tshuva is that it doesn't make any sense. Okay, let's continue. So far, any questions? Okay. So he's on the boat. V'adonai yitil ruach gdola el hayam. Hashem makes this large storm. Vayihisar gadol bayam. Vaniach yishvali shaver. The boat is going up and down in the waves, and it's about to break. They see, right? The Midrash actually describes a very interesting sort of reality, which they are in the ocean. They see other boats, and it's not raining on the other boats. It's only raining, right? It's like you're in Florida. In Florida, on one side of like the street, it's raining. On the other side, it's not raining. So that's what's happening, right? They see this reality of there's a storm, but it's only like on our boat. So like, what's the deal? They see the storm. Obviously, what's the answer? God is initiating this storm. Chazal say that, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you would think if you ever started to see that, you would clearly realize that like what he's doing is wrong.
Oh. That's right. Vayiru hamelachim, vayizaku ish el Elohav. So the boatsmen, right, the sailors, they see that there's obviously something wrong. So they all start calling out to their gods, right? Their ovdei kochavim. Vayatilu es akelim asher bonia. Not only are they davening, but they're also doing a hishtadlus. They start taking the heavy things off the boat, try to throw it off the boat in order to lighten the load. Elayam akel malehem v'yona yarad el yer kaseh hasvina v'yishkav v'yiradim. But what does Yonah do, guys? Yonah, instead of calling out to Hashem, He goes down to the bottom of the boat and goes to sleep. Now, what the heck is wrong with Yonah? What is wrong with him? Everyone is davening. And what is Yonah, the pious Jew, the Navi, doing? He goes down and he goes to sleep. Why would he be going to sleep, guys? Yeah. Oh, that is something which I haven't found in the Mefarshim, but it's Pashat. It seems to me that might be a pshat. I just haven't found it anywhere. If you find it somewhere, please let me know. It's a good pshat, right? Nevi'im get...
call out to God.
Right. Now, okay. Let's say I'm Yonah. Let's go with our third approach. Yonah doesn't believe in tshuva, right? So what has Yonah done after he has already screwed up, right? The Gemara says, HaKovesh Nivuato Chayav Mita. A person who God speaks to and tells him to do something, and he doesn't do it, he's Chayav Misa. So what? What does Yonah figure?
He's accepting his
fate. Let me go down. Let me at least get a shluff before I go up to Shamayim. I'm going to be in Gehenna one way or another, so let me at least like enjoy my last moments here. That's what Yonah figures. That's one approach that we find in the Mefarshim. Another approach is a little bit more pious, but at the core is very similar. Yonah also realizes that he's Chayav Misa, and it's all happening because of him. So why does he go down low? Because he realizes, Al Piteva, according to nature, the water is going to enter the boat first at the bottom. So what?
Once he dies,
the storm will stop.
Who says it will enter the bottom? People on the deck will get swept away.
Right, it could be. That was his cheshbon. That was his cheshbon. Now, once again, you don't have to necessarily go according to those mefarshim. You could say the approach number one. But those are the two approaches. One way or another, Yonah is willing and it seems like that he's ready to give up on his life. Because either he doesn't want to be involved with this approach number one, he doesn't want to be in part of the Chorban. Or number three, he doesn't believe in the ability to do tshuva at all. Okay? That's so far what we've seen. Okay? So, this is one of the way that the Svardim... Do we have any Svardim here? No, it doesn't look like it. He might be Svardi. Sorry. Okay. No, I just picked out the most Ashkenazi-looking guy and just for the jokes. Okay. So, the way that Svardim start off part of their slichos is kum kera betachanunim ben adam alecha nirdam. Person, what are you doing sleeping? Wake up and call out to God. That's what slichos are about. Let's look at this pasuk. Vayikrav elav rav chovel. So the captain comes to him and he starts waking him up. What are you doing sleeping? Call out to your God. Everyone's davening. What are you sleeping? Maybe God's going to do something and we won't be all killed. What the heck are you doing here? And now the other sailors start telling to themselves, they start speaking amongst each other. Okay, our hishtadlus isn't working. And what else isn't working? Obviously, our davening isn't working, so let's figure out, maybe there's something else, maybe there's some other cause. So they said, let's make a goral, right? Let's pick out a bunch of names from hats, and we'll figure out whoever is the cursed one. So let's make this goral, and we'll figure out why, right? Because once again, the storm, if you go according to the Midrash, the storm that they're looking at is right in front. Meaning, it's clear that it's something wrong with the ship. Okay. Ve'apil goralos, ve'apil goral al Yonah. So, punk, the Jew gets picked out from the hat, comes up. What the heck is... Ve'omer alav. So they say to him, Hagidan alanu ba'asher lemia razos lanu. Why is this happening to us? Mama achtecha, what is your work? Me'ang tevo. Ma'artecha ve'mizayu amata. Where are you from? What nation are you from? And then what does he get up and start singing? You guys know the song, Benny Friedman?
Yeah.
That's what he says. I am a Hebrew. And I am fearful of God. What's the problem with that?
It contradicts exactly.
What are you doing? You obviously don't fear God. Okay? I am fearful of the guy who made like the beach and the earth and the water. It's an interesting sort of It's unclear exactly what he's saying, but it seems that that's his identity. Right? His identity is that, at a core, I'm a Jew. It could be that I'm doing a lot of things that don't exactly represent what my identity is, but that's who I am. When someone wakes you up and says, "Who are you?" You don't say, "Zach." You say, "I'm a Jew. I'm an Eved Hashem." Okay. Vayiran Hashem Yirah Gdolah. Whoa. The Jews, the sailors, they freak out. Vayomer Lav Mazos Hasisa. What'd you do? A Jew. Ki Yaduha Hanashim Ki Milifnei Adonai Hu Boreach Ki Yigid Lahem. Because Yonah starts telling them, well, I'm running away from God, actually. And it's very interesting, because they're Ovdei Kochavim, right? They don't believe in, at least, right? They're not monotheists. They believe in all of these idols. But it's clear that these people also believe in a larger God, right? And say for Yehoshua, we find that when the Jews come into Eretz Yisrael, what are people worried about? They're worried about the God of the Jews who took them out of Egypt. I mean, it's clear that even these people who are paganists believe in a God who is powerful. So they start freaking out. What is going on? Why are you running away from God? Vayomer alav mana selach. What should we do to you? They say to Vayishtok hayam me'aleinu. Like, what are we going to do so that the storm is going to stop? Vayishtok hayam me'aleinu ki hayam holech v'sor, because it's such a bad storm. Vayomer alehem. So now, what does Yonah say? Instead of davening out, calling out to Hashem, Hashem, stop and have rachamim. Not only on me, on these people. What does he say? Vayomerahem, sa'uni vatiluni alayam, pick me up, throw me into the ocean. Vayishtokayam alechem ki odia ani, because I know, ki bishali hasar gadol azeh alechem, because I know that it's my fault. This storm is my fault. So once again, Yonah is so committed to his values, that he's really willing to. This is the second time that he's tried killing himself. Goes down to sleep. Now he's saying, throw me out into the middle of the storm. What is wrong with Yonah?
Why didn't he go throw himself out?
It's a good question. It's a good question. He needs a therapist. Okay.
Well, that could be a proof as to saying that when he went to sleep, he wasn't trying to kill himself.
Oh, I mean, okay, could be.
If you're trying to kill yourself, sleeping is the easiest way.
Right.
I mean, now that they caught on to him.
Right. Right.
If he was trying to kill himself, he could die earlier. He
seems to be able to jump. Well, not necessarily, because maybe he doesn't want to have the pain of drowning.
Right. That's not
maybe,
so. That's
maybe
not.
You drown halfway so while you're asleep, you wake up for a second, and you're just
Right. Take a few too many Tylenols. Okay, let's continue. Okay?
You hit the highest point of the ship, you jump, and then you hit head.
All right. Okay, all very good ideas, but I guess the Tanakh, whatever. Okay. So now the sailors are trying to do anything to get back to the dry land. But they can't do it. Because there's this huge storm. Now, let's see something. Who are we expecting to be calling out to God? The prophet, Yonah. But now we see something else. Vayikru el Adonai. Who calls out to Hashem?
They do.
These are the kochavim. Vayomru, Ana Adonai, Alnana, Avdoda, Menefesh, Azeh, Ha'ish Azeh. Don't make us responsible for taking this man's life and throwing him into the water. Valtitein alinu dam naki. Don't make our hands red with this blood. With this innocent blood, kiata adonai, kasher chafatza asiza, because is this what you want us to do? God, yeah.
Could Yonah have just caused them to do tshuva right there and now?
Could be.
And then maybe he wasn't going that way to do it, but right
there. But really there. Okay, so let's see.
They just called out to Hashem.
Let's see. Vayisu es Yonah vayitilu al hayam v'yamod hayam izafo. But I guess very fast, in the moment, whatever it was, they had a little bit of Jewish guilt, but then they threw that guy right into the ocean. Okay, then the storm stopped. All good. Vayiru anashim yirah gdola es Adonai. Now these people are fearful of God. Vayizbechu zevach l'Adonai v'idru nedarim. Not only are they scared of God, but they give korbanos. Chazal tell us that these people actually do gerus. They become Jews. They bring korbanos in Yerushalayim. Okay? So
they did do tshuva.
So it looks like these people did tshuva, but who didn't do tshuva?
Yonah
doesn't do tshuva. To believe in one God, maybe. Okay. No, they weren't Jewish.
I feel like if you really believe in God, like, and you're a goy, like, you're gonna want to do gayers.
Not really.
Let's leave this for now. It's off our topic, and we only have 30 minutes. Okay, let's continue. Parak Beis. Let's get going. So here comes the fish, guys. Chomp, chomp. Vayiman Adonai Dagadol. Pay attention to the tenses. Okay? Zachar Nekeva. Pay attention to the tenses of the dag. What kind of fish is it, guys?
Gadol.
Vayiman Adonai Dag Gadol. What kind of dag?
Whale.
A dag Zachar. A male fish. Dag. Okay? How would you say a female fish?
Daga.
Okay. Vayiman Adonai Dag Gadol. Livlo Es Yonah. So this fish comes, a whale comes, eats up Yonah. So he's in this fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And then we hear that Yonah starts davening to Hashem from the belly of a fish lady. So what happened to that? Right? So Chazal say clearly what happened is that at first Chazal tells this story that he was in the male fish and it was big, right? He didn't have a uterus with all these fish babies inside, so it was like nice and comfortable, and Yonah like didn't feel the pressure to dive in. So like he's just like sitting and chilling there. And then so what does God do? He has this fish spit him out into a woman fish that was impregnated. So now she has a uterus, and now it's like very, very tsar, right? The place is very tsar. So Yonah starts diving. Benkach ubenkach, it seems like there is now, okay, obviously the Mefarshei Pshat. The more simple understanding is that dag and daga, it's female, male. Sometimes the Tanakh does. We're going to see a little bit later. I want you guys to pay attention. Later in this parak, we're going to have to see if this midrash works with the pshat. Okay? Yonah obviously changes his ways here. Yonah davens. And let's see what his davening is. It's beautiful tefillah. We spell Yonah el Adonai Elohav mimea daga. I called out to God from my tzar, from my tzaros, and Hashem listened. From the depths of my stomach, literally, of this fish, I called out and you heard me. And you threw me into the waters. And the waves are crashing. I'm in this fish, I'm going up and down. And what did I think? I didn't dive in the beginning. Why? Because I thought that was it. Din. 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 There's no tshuva. But eventually I came to the conclusion, if I'm here for 3 days and I'm still not dead, there's got to be something weird going on. So I realized at that point, at the lowest, right? At the lowest of the points, I realized that maybe there is an opportunity for tshuva.
This was 3 days in,
yeah.
And he was in the stomach.
Yeah.
Just saying, how could he think that it was God who cast him away? Or who sent him away, whatever the watch uses.
What do you mean?
What is the word?
Meaning it's metaphorically. It's metaphorically he's saying that God put me in this situation. Right?
The whole story's not metaphor.
Okay? Like, let's continue.
Why would you think that?
I mean, because he knows that God... He knows that...
You're a co-fan?
Right? Guys, shh. It's okay. He knows that God is behind all of this. He's just not willing to accept, you know, he's just not willing to accept whatever the implications of that is. So, but we see that there's a change here. We got to move. The waters came up to my throat. Very poetic tefillah. Right, just before I was about to pass away, I remembered God. And my tefillah came all the way to the Beis HaMikdash. Right, it's a beautiful tefillah. But now he says, Mishamrim Havle Shav Chazdam Yaazovu. Who is he talking about? He says, those who are wicked, and they're and it sounds like what Yonah is saying over here is there are some people who dive into you but don't really mean it. Chazdam Yaazovu, the Chesed, they're going to eventually leave it. Va'anime kol todayz b'chalach. But I will give real tshuva. I will bring a korban to you. Shernadarti Yashalema Yeshua Sal Adonai. So who is he speaking about in the first pasuk? Who do you think he's speaking about?
The other people,
the sailors. What does he say? They're sailors. Why did they make tshuva? Because they were scared. They wanted to do it to live. They're havli shav. That's not real. That's not what tshuva is. Chazdam ya'azovu, don't worry. Eventually, they're going to get over it. They're not going to actually bring you the korbanos. They're out of their minds. But me? Yonah Spitz. I do real tshuva. And that's how the tefillah ends. Sort of interesting way how to end the tefillah. But Yonah has changed his trajectory. Right? It sounds like there is tshuva. Now, why did I tell you guys that Yonah doesn't actually do tshuva in the end? Because there's two more prakim. Yeah. You got a question?
No.
Okay. Let's get started.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't that the exact reason why he's doing tshuva now? Because he's been put in a smaller space?
Right. Yeah.
So there's an immediate contradiction.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yonah is like a very, very complex person. I don't have a real answer for you. I think like the Tanakh is trying to even show us, stress that tension, that it's like odd. Right? Okay.
That's probably why they do Dag and Dagah. Just like the
show. Oh, so let's see. Dag. What's the next one? Vayomer Adonai LaDag. Vayakeas Yonah Ala Yabasha.
We're back to a
manfish. So the manfish spits him out? But I thought he was in the...
God wanted to see if he'd actually do tshuva in a more comfortable situation, so the female fish did him out.
So it's interesting. I didn't see any of them force him, like... I don't. They're not mityaches to that.
Start off with Dag. He went to Dagah because it has a hate the Emperor Hashem's name, and then he...
Wow.
He's coming closer to Hashem.
You should write
then
a parish.
At the end,
amazing.
Back to Dag again, and you just sit out because you didn't really do a real tshuva.
Anyways, I think that is what is motivating some of the mefarshim to say that this mitzvah is a beautiful idea, but it's not pshat. Because it seems like that's not pshat. Okay. Perek Gimel. Huh?
Tod Sofer.
Okay. Let's go. No, Chas V'Shalom, not Tod Sofer. Vahi Dvar Adonai El Yonah Sheni Yislei Mor. So now, round two, guys. Yonah is ready to listen to God's words. Hashem comes to him the second time and say, Kum Eichel Ninveh Ha'ir Agdolah. A little bit of deja vu. Go to Nineveh, the large city. Ukra le'as ha'kriya asher anu chidover alecha. And say what I have told you to say. Vayakam Yonah v'yelech al Nineveh kidvar Adonai. So Yonah gets up and he goes. V'ninveh ha'isa ir gdola le'elohim ma'alach shloshes yamim. Tanakh feels that it's important to tell us that Nineveh was such a large city to walk from one side of the city to the other side, it would take 3 days. Okay? Could be that is connected. Yonah comes into the city and he starts walking. He's walking for a day. Remember, from one side to the other side, how long?
3 days.
3 days. He's walking for one day. Vayikra vayomer od arba'im yom v'nin v'nehefaches. One day in, he starts screaming, starts calling out, blowing the shofar. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. It's like, have you ever been in Mea Sharm on like Erev Shabbos? Like when that car is like driving by. The Levaya of the Gadol Hador. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anyways, he had one of those cars and he was going through Nineveh and he was doing this. He was like announcing, in 40 days, what is going to happen? Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Going to be destroyed. Vayaminu anshei Nineveh bo Elohim. And the Nineveh people believe in God. Vayikru tzom velbishu sakim. And they start fasting and they wear sackcloth. Migdol vad ketanim. Right? Even the ones who are putter from fasting fast. The pregnant ladies are fasting. Everyone's fasting. It's amazing. Why do they believe in Yonah? Like, who is this guy? Some messianic... Imagine someone were to come into the Shalvin based Medrash. Guy's probably like wearing like a purple talus. So like, in 40 days, Shalavim is going to be destroyed. What would happen? Throw him out. Right? But this city, Nineveh believes. So there's two approaches in the Mefarshim as to why they believe. On a Midrashic level, the Midrash explains in Yalkut Shimoni that what happened, the sailors, instead of going to Tarshish, end up going to Nineveh, which is a far, far trek. They end up going to Nineveh, and they start telling the people of Nineveh, listen, there was this guy, Yonah, and he was in the fish. Now we saw him, and he's out, and now he's telling you to do tshuva. It must be that he's really from God. and you really need to believe him. Now, if you heard that story from a bunch of sailors, 50 sailors, sailors aren't the most believable people, but 50 people, maybe there's something here. Maybe there's something here. That's one approach. The second approach is the more simple approach, which doesn't really invoke this midrash, which is, the Ibn Ezra brings this, that it was very known that the Nevi'im, that Nevi'i Yisrael were respected worldwide. Right? We see Eliyahu and Elisha both going to the north, northern empires north of Israel, and people know them. Right? People know them by name. It could be that Yonah was one of these known Nevi'im. And when a known Navi says something, you believe it. Okay?
What's the first approach?
First approach was that the Midrash says that the sailors came to Nineveh and attested to the fact that this story is real. Okay? Either way, yeah. Paro was the Melech, right? And that what? And so he knew. He's got to be like 1,000 years old by now. Right? He's old. Okay. Anyways. Paro. Okay. Anyways. That's what I think that's what we learned in kindergarten, right? Probably. Okay. I didn't learn that in kindergarten. I wasn't from in kindergarten. Anyways. Okay. We got 17 minutes and we got to cover.
They teach you crazy things.
I was always, I still am very envious of my wife in some respects with this, like, when I, like, read through Sefer Bereishis now, because I didn't grow up from, when I read through Sefer Bereishis, like, I'm, like, blown away by, like, these Rashis. They, like, say, like, these amazing Midrashim, and I come home, and I'm like, Tova, like, I saw this Midrash today, and I'm like, it's the most amazing thing, and she's like, so what was it? I'm like, well, the sun and the moon, they were, like, fighting, and, like, the this and the that. She's like, yeah, I, like, learned that in kindergarten. And I was like, yeah, but, like, I learned it in Shana Aleph, you know? I mean, like, anyways, side point. So, yes, there are Midrashim, and the Midrashim have something deep there, but not always do they reflect what the Pshat of Pesukim are saying. Okay, so they believe. So now, what's the problem? The contrast is that Yonah has hit this problem, which he has feared the entire time. Okay? And that's the background that we need to understand. So let's see. So they believe. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to implement everything that it takes to really do tshuva. Vayigad davar el melech Nineveh. But now, this king, the king of Nineveh, hears that all these people are fasting and they're crying. Vayakim kisovi avera deratome alav. And now the king takes off his robe, his kingly robe. Vayichas sak vayishav al efer. And now the king joins in the party of mourning. He starts doing tshuva also. Vayazak vayomar ben Nineveh. And he calls out to Nineveh. Mitam hamelech ugdolav lemor. This is a message from the king. Hadam vabeima habakar vatzon ayitamu me'uma. No one is allowed to eat or drink anything. Humans and animals. Al yiru umayim al yishtu. Okay. And they're calling out to God strong. And the Pasuk tells us that these people do tshuva. Because they say to themselves, if there's this hope that we won't be destroyed if we change our ways, obviously Yonah has come to change our ways. And who believes in the power of tshuva? It's amazing. Nineveh goes from the most illicit, terrible, filled with Ganavim sort of city and country into a city of tshuva. And Yonah has fulfilled his role, seemingly.
What were the reasons for getting into the tshuva again?
So let's see, hold on. Vayara Elohim es ma'aseihem ki shavu midar kam hara. And now God has seen. Now it's not only from our perspective, but God saw their actions that they returned from tshuva. Vayinachem ho Elohim al ra asher diber la'asos lahem v'lo'asa. And therefore God says to himself, that's it. I planned on destroying the city, but now I plan on not destroying the city because they really changed. So let's try to remember. Let's do chazar for the three different approaches that we saw. The first two approaches were similar, was that Yonah does not want to be involved in this tshuva process. Why? A, because he wants to help me out. A, because
he doesn't want to bring about the Churban.
Right, he doesn't want to bring out about the Churban. B,
it's because it's going to look bad.
It's going to look bad for the Jews. right? He doesn't want to bring the Churban. He doesn't want to bring the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he sees that if these people do tshuva, then the destruction is going to come. Number three.
Why is he looking for the Jews?
He had a nevuah.
Since when does the people need to make sure the Jews have to be on a righteous level?
Chazal understand that. I don't know.
Why would this be a busha for the Yehudim?
Because like if these goyim schmucks couldn't do tshuva, so like what, like the Jews can't?
That was his book.
Huh?
That was his message.
Yeah, those are the two first approaches that we saw. The third approach was that Yonah doesn't believe in tshuva, or he doesn't believe in tshuva in the terms that, because if you're a din person, so these people, why are they doing tshuva? Why did the sailors do tshuva? Because for their lives. It's not real tshuva. I did real tshuva. I was in the fish. Did he really do tshuva? It seems like it's the same kind of tshuva. Why do the Nineveh people do tshuva? They realize that Nineveh Ne'efach has 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. So Yonah's approach to the tshuva, what would you think? It's not good tshuva.
I mean, I guess it's out of fear.
Right? It sounds like it's out of fear.
You're allowed to do tshuva out of fear.
Could be that Yonah is not a fan of that. Okay? Perek Dalet. Sipor ha'kikayon. I'm very impressed that we're keeping to time. Vayira el Yonah ra'agdola. Yonah gets fiercely angry. Vaycharlo. Vayispalel el Adonai vayomer ana Adonai halozed vori ad heyosiad al admasi. He calls out to God. He's pretty angry. And he says, God, this is exactly why I didn't want to come. This is exactly what I told you. So, guys, when we asked why does he run away, so the three approaches that we said, let's look at this pasuk and try to fit them into this pasuk. Because he tells us what his motivation was. This is exactly what I told you. Al kain kidamti livroach Tarshisha. This is the reason that I wanted to go to Tarshish. Ki adati ki ata el chanun v'rachum erach apayim v'rav chesed ve?
Amen. Does not say amen.
Ki adati ki ata el chanun v'rachum erach apayim v'rav chesed ve?
Nicham.
MS. MS, MS, MS. Where's the Yigyoi Karim? Midas Arachamim Chevra. What was MS? That's what it is. What is this?
So is he saying that the...
Kiadati Kiel Chanun Rachum Erech Apayim Rav Chesed? I know, V'nichem Arab. You give up on the evil which is done. What do you think Yonah's trying to do here? I haven't seen this written anywhere, but it seems to be Pashut Pshat to me. I saw this in Yoel. He says a very similar thing. Nicham Al Arab, what is it? He's saying that MS... No, this isn't MS. What is MS? MS is when someone does something bad. What do you do to them? You do bad to them. But when you give up ki'ilu on these people, what are you doing? V'nichem al hara, you're giving up on the evil. But that's not MS. That's not MS. I haven't seen it written anywhere, but I think that's the pshat of the pasuk. V'nichem al hara. Vata Adonai, hold on. And now, God, kachnos nashimi meni, take my life. Kitov mosi mechayai, take my life because I'd rather be dead than be in this situation. Yonah's pretty upset. You want to ask something? Yeah, Naria.
I think another pshat of leaving out Emmet is that the real issue here is that Yonah's feeling that they're not doing, that their tshuva isn't really Emmet. I saw a whole shiur about
this. Right.
That kind of feeds into this, but
right.
Saying like the whole, like all the beginning is leading us to like feel comfortable, like exposing ourselves to Hashem and expressing that we've really done bad and like really wanting to strive for better and just really being open and being comfortably open because Hashem is Kalrachum Chanan Echabayim.
Right.
And then the Amet comes in as like we really need to be honest and truthful. And maybe he's saying that they're like this tshuva like
is not real truthful. I could be that also. Is that it's not true. This is an MS Dika tshuva. I can't say it's MS. Beautiful scenario. Take my life. Third time, Chevra. Third time that he's ready to commit suicide. Vayomer Adonai. So what does God say back to him? Three words. Hahitev chara lach. Sure, you want to be hangry? Okay, that's what God says. Vayitzei Yonah min ha'ir. Yonah leaves the city.
We're assuming that Hashem speaks to his dreams.
I'd imagine. Now, guys, why is Yonah angry? Have the 40 days passed? The 40 days haven't passed. He just got there. So why is he angry?
Because he knows.
Because he knows what. Because he knows. So the Radak points out that Chazal seemed to say that Yonah got a nevuah saying that Hashem has given up, meaning Hashem has been mochel then. And therefore Yonah is saying to himself, 40 days aren't even gone by. How are you going to... Could be that they're going to change in less than 40 days. At least give it the end. This is an MS. So Yonah leaves the city. Vayetzei Yonah min ha'ir, vayishav mikedem la'ir. And he sits on the outside of the city. Vayas lo sham sukkah vayishav tachtea. So he makes this sukkah, and he sits under it. Vetzel ad asher yireh ma'yeh ba'ir. So he says to himself, pull up a chair, watch Sunday night football. Let's see what's going to happen. What's the problem with that, guys? Didn't God say what was going to happen?
Yes.
God said, I've given up. So what is he going to sit around and watch? To see nothing.
See if the people go back to the elders.
He is sitting there as a prosecutor, ready with his gavel to smash and to say, this wasn't MS. I'm going to sit here till the 40 days and I'll prove you wrong, God. I'll prove you wrong. So what does God do? So far it seems like Yonah has not accepted this approach of tshuva. Vayimana Adonai Elohim kikayon. So God brings this. It's interesting, someone pointed out the Vayiman. Vayiman, where else did we find that? We saw Vayiman es hadag, right? We see that God brings the fish with this lashon. See a few times throughout the Sefer, Vayiman, that God is bringing. So he also, what else does he bring? He brings this kikayon. What's a kikayon? Cactus. How does he translate it?
Cactus.
A cactus. So some sort of shady plant. Vayamal Leona Leosel al Rosho. Have you ever been at I don't know. I used to love going to Dolphins games on Sundays, and when you go to pregame. Before the game, you go to barbecue and stuff, right? You go tailgating. Tailgating is the worst at 12 o'clock in the afternoon if you don't have shade. You need shade. You need something, right? So Yonah is going to be out there for 40 days. What does he need?
Shade.
He needs shade. He needs air conditioning. So what does God give him?
He gives him shade.
The Ostela Roshola Tzilo Mirato. Because obviously, who wants to be in such a shver matziv, watching Sunday night football without an air conditioner. Vayismach Yonah al-kikayon simcha gdola. And Yonah's stoked. It's awesome. How many times did it say simcha gdola in the Tanakh? He is so happy. He is as happy as one other time in the Tanakh when Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash. That's the only other place in Tanakh that says simcha gdola. So Yonah is happy, simcha gdola. That I heard from Rabbi Forman. Vayiman Elohim tolat. Rabbi David Foreman. Yeah. Vayiman Elohim tolat. Ba'alot ha-shachar. But now, Vayiman. Again. God brings a bug. Some sort of eating bug. L'macharat v'tach et ha-kikayon v'ayivash. And he takes out all the juice and the air conditioner breaks. And the cactus loses its shade. Vayikizrach ha-shemesh. And the sun comes up. Vayiman Elohim ruach kadim. Vayiman again. What the significance of that is, I'm not sure. Vayimen Elohim ruach kadim charishit v'tach Hashemesh al rosh Yona v'italev v'yishal nafsho lamut v'yamer tov moti mechayai. So Yona once again loses the air conditioner and he freaks out pretty fast.
He wants to die again.
I'd rather die. Who's counting?
Four.
What is the big deal? What is the big deal? So now here comes the musr. Vayomer Elohim el Yona. Hayitev chara lacha al kikayon? Are you really that upset about this cactus? Vayomer hayitev chara li ad maves. Yeah, I'd rather die right now.
Why?
Have you ever I don't know. Sometimes, like, I'd rather die than sit in my house without air conditioner. I guess that's what Yonah's feeling right now. Yes, I would rather die than sit over here. Okay.
Yeah, but we usually don't say that to God.
Great. Vayom Adonai. So God says back to him, Atach hasta like kayon asher lo amaltabo vilo gidalto. You're so upset about this cactus which you didn't plant. You didn't put any effort into it. You didn't do anything. Should bin laila hayahu bin laila avad. That in one night it was there, one night it was gone. Va'anilo achos al ninve ha'ir agdola. And I shouldn't be upset about Ninve, the large city. I share yesh bahar bemishtemasar ribo adam. That there's more than 12,000 people in there. I share loyada ben yimino lismolo. That they didn't know from right and left. Ubehema rabah. Right, Chazal say that. What does it mean that there's a lot of animals there? It means that the people were like animals, meaning like they didn't. What's the Musar, Chevron? What's the Musar? That's it. The Sefer's over. The book's over.
I was saying they don't deserve true, but he didn't necessarily deserve the tree either.
He didn't deserve it.
Right. Even though he's so in the bin, he automatically
feels like I deserve this tree. So what's the mussar? What's the punchline? The punchline is, you don't get anything. Everything is a chesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything. Now, the question which, in the next 2 minutes, which we'll finish off with, is like, why does the book end here? Cliffhanger much? Why not just say like, yeah, Yonah did tshuva and like, happily ever after. And then, I promised you guys that we would answer the questions like, why do we read this on Yom Kippur? Isn't this like the opposite of tshuva? So we saw that there are aspects of tshuva throughout the entire story. Meaning the sailors are doing tshuva, and the people of Ninveh are doing tshuva, and Yonah does tshuva at some points. But on a pshat level, it doesn't seem like Yonah does tshuva at the end.
There's still a deep lesson of tshuva at the end of the story.
And I'd like
to... Right. Tshuva.
Now it's our turn to figure out.
Right, now it's our turn. Meaning, let's say it a little bit clearer. Our story, Yonah's story, is really our story.
Yeah.
Meaning, very often, and this is what Rav Judah was speaking about last week when he was here, every time he comes, it's like, Mamash, Hashem is speaking to me when he speaks. Mamash. Hashchina midaber mitoch grono. Sometimes, very often, in our own lives, in our own relationships with God, we believe that we have done something so awful that there is no going back. And that I've done something so bad that from din, it doesn't make any sense. It's not MS. A person could feel like, there's a famous story of Rav Levi Yitzchak, that he's davening, I don't know if you remember this story, he's davening Erev Yom Kippur, and he doesn't want to start Kol Nidre. He's crying. Doesn't want to start Kol Nidre. And the Chassidim start getting worried. Okay, like, we're not so makpid on Zmanin, but like, come on, like, I want to go to sleep. So the Chassidim like go like over to his son, and they send his son. The son goes to Levi Yitzchak, and he says, Tati, like, what are you crying about? He said, last year I said Kol Nidre, that my life would change. That this Yom Kippur, my year is going to be different. And I really, really, really meant it. How can I come this year, after all my failures throughout the year, and say the same thing? How could I say it? It's not true. It's not MS. That's the taina of Yonah. So what does the son say back to him? Such a beautiful insight. Not in these words, but Va'ani lo alchus al ninveh ha'ir agdola asher yesh ba harbe mishtemes haribo adam. The answer he says back is, what you said was really MS. You really meant it. Now life may change and things might happen. But when a person wants, and at that moment that he does tshuva, that momentary tshuva that Yonah doesn't believe in, the tshuva of Ninveh because of fear, the tshuva of the sailors because of fear, the tshuva of everyone in life, we all have reasons. You know, chas v'shalom, a parent passes away, you want to do tshuva now. Right? I grew up in a Chabad neighborhood, and people coming in all the time with like the weirdest things. A parent passes away, or their son has a bar mitzvah, so they want to do tshuva. Is that like tshuva? So the story of Yonah teaches us is that tshuva is whatever you think it is. Tshuva is when a person decides that I'm going to change my life. Now, if that doesn't end up happening, that doesn't mean that that moment, that tshuva, that momentary tshuva wasn't real. The story and the lesson that we learn from Yonah is that Hashem has so much love for all of his creations, even these people of Nineveh, and that the concept of tshuva is a chesed. It's not emes, it's not din, it's a chesed. Mr. Hashem, this Yom Kippur, will be able to be mafnin this messer, to maybe take this message that Yonah could be that he took, could be that he didn't. But I think that the story ends off so unclear for us in order to have this internal battle, for us to feel this tension, and for us to, Mirtz Hashem, have a year of emes, have a year of tshuva. We should all be nechtam b'sifrem shel tzadikim
gemara. Thank you very much.